Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for all.
Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 14. And it reads as follows: For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. But just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, forgiveness. It has a boomerang effect. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't know if you know it, but forgiveness, it has a boomerang effect. Give the Lord some praise. I just wanted to share with you what Jesus was sharing with his disciples, and not one occasion, but on many occasions. He lifts this issue of forgiveness up because it should be an automatic reality in the hearts and lives of the believers. It should be a reality that is exercised and expressed depending on what side of the issue you're on. Jesus is finishing a prayer. He's literally continuing a teaching, if you will, that began in the 5th chapter of Matthew's and ends in the 7th chapter of Matthew's. And it was on the mount that he sat down, and the word says, and he opened his mouth in verse 2 of the 5th chapter and taught them, saying. This is a part of the teaching that continued on that Jesus was trying to emphasize so that the believer would understand God's position on many and varied issues, especially as relates to this issue of forgiveness. And one of the things that I want you to realize as we look through the word and how Jesus himself deals with this in many essences, look in Luke, if you will, chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And when you find that, you're going to see that Jesus is sharing with the apostles again about this issue. And he's making it clear that they need to understand again God's position on the matter and how God deals with it. Verse 1 of the 17th chapter of Luke says, Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come. Now he's saying to them, just because you're my disciples, just because you're a part of me, doesn't mean that you will not have to go through things, you will not have troubles, trials, or tribulations, or deal with offenses or difficulties. They are going to come. But look at what he goes on to say. He says, But woe unto him through whom they come. He says in verse 2, It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he be cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. And it's talking about one of those who are a part of the kingdom of God. Now he says in verse 3, Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Amen. Now I want you to see how clear and how concise this issue is of forgiveness that Jesus speaks about. He says, if thy brother, now he's moving from the world and he comes into the family of God, because not only will you suffer offenses from the world, but you're going to suffer offenses from your brothers and sisters in Christ. But the difference between them, he's making clear, is that it is not your responsibility, it is not your job to take the matter of getting even and getting back and getting over and getting on people who've done you wrong on yourself, for the word of God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So he's helping us to understand, if the world does you something wrong, give it over to the Lord. He's going to deal with it. But now if your brother or sister does you wrong, he says you have the right to go to him or her and make clear the issue that has offended you. And in essence, you are rebuking them because you're saying to them, my brother, my sister, that you've done, that you said has offended me, it has hurt me, it has in some way injured or impaired me. And when that is made known to the brother or sister of the faith, if they respond with, I am so sorry, or with a God of repentance, he makes clear here, we don't have a right to judge the motive or to scrutinize what the response is. If they say that they repent, then that's all we can go on. And so we don't become judge and jury and say, well, you didn't look like you were sorry because you weren't crying when you said, forgive me. So I'm not going to forgive you. No, that is not a part of the requirement. If he or she has been rebuked and they repent, it is then incumbent upon you to then forgive them. Verse 3 again says, take heed to yourself. Watch yourself. Pay attention to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, what? Didn't say maybe, think about it, contemplate it. It said if he repents, do what? Forgive him. Now look at verse 4. And if he trespasses against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, I'm sorry. It may not be the same sin, and then again it may be. But look at what Jesus says. Thou shalt what? Forgive him. Now look at what the apostle said. And the apostle said unto the Lord, what's your Bible say? My Bible says, increase our faith. Now you need to understand that this issue of forgiveness is a difficult thing if you do not forgive in the love and understanding of the Word of God. First of all, you, in order to forgive, must always forgive in the light of your state of forgiveness. In other words, if you were perfect, then you might not have a right to forgive. But since you are imperfect, and the person who has trespassed against you is unperfect or imperfect, then that means then that we're in the same boat. And so maybe I offended you today and you may offend me tomorrow, but the bottom line is neither one of us are any better than the other of us, and we're all God's children, and God is simply saying that we've got to learn how to get along with one another. Now interestingly enough, as he tells them, he grants unto them, according to the word of God, through the gift of the Spirit of God in Acts chapter 2, when the endowment of the Holy Ghost has come, and then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, the gift of faith is what these men are asking for when he says, increase our faith. Though Romans 10 and 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is, again, the kind of God faith that we need to forgive folk with. Sometimes in our heart, you've heard it said that I wasn't able to find it in my heart to forgive him or forgive her. Sometimes you will not find the kind of faith to forgive folk in your heart, but you'll always find the kind of faith to forgive folk in the Lord. Now listen at this, because this is important. I want us to go back to the word, if you will, and let's go back again to Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if Jesus is saying there is a choice and there is a chance. And whenever he gives us a choice, he has to give us a chance so that we can make whatever choice we want. But once we make the choice, we then no longer can control the consequences. So he's saying, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father, what? Will also forgive you. Now listen at this. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, he gives a motive here for forgiving folk, even if you don't want to forgive them, for forgiveness' sake. First of all, remember this, that if you don't want to forgive them for the fact that they have repented and asked for forgiveness, you need to think twice and you need to think long about not forgiving them. Because the ultimate reality is when you tell them, I don't forgive you, or when you say to them that I'm not going to forgive you, you're not sincere, so forth and so on, then you are then holding God to the same reality in your own life. There are three realities that we must look at in the text today and reasons why we should forgive. Reason number one, that not forgiving folk is too great a burden to bear. It burdens us. When we don't forgive folk, it carries a burden connected with the act of not forgiving. First of all, let me explain that. How does not forgiving folk burden you? Well, it's simple. It burdens you because, number one, you have got to chronicle, which means to record the sin. And then if they've hurt you more than one time, then you've got to catalog the sin. And then thirdly, you are always concerned about the sin. And if someone has not been forgiven and you're the one holding the grudge or holding this unforgiveness in your heart, you will keep your mind tied up, unfree to flow, unfree to take in new information and inspiration, because nothing goes out and nothing can come in because you are stuck on this spirit of unforgiveness. And in being in that place, you have to keep that up to par, because when people ask you why you don't like so-and-so, why you feel like that, why you roll your eyes every time she come in the room, why you act like that with that brother, you have got to remember chronicling it. You have to catalog it and concern yourself with it. Otherwise, you'll look like the fool when you say, I don't know why I'm mad with her. Now, some of y'all probably still mad. That's why you can't get with me here this morning. But let me help you here, because you can't get what God wants for you holding on to unforgiveness. Our Heavenly Father gives us examples in how we ought to handle that. As a matter of fact, the Word records that when He forgives us of our sins, He forgets our sins. The Bible says when He forgives us, He remembers them no more. He says in His Word that He takes our sin and He puts them in a bag and sews the bag up, and He's got a sea called the sea of forgetfulness, and He casts our sin sewn up in a bag in the sea so that He can't read off, chronicle, or even catalog our sins anymore. So if God has learned the best way to forgive somebody is to forgive it and forget it, who are you to change the policy or the plan? Listen at this now, because I want you to see, not only does unforgiveness burden us, but secondly of all, it bitters us, makes us bitter. Nothing's worse than looking at a sour-faced saint on Sunday morning. Face all twisted up like they've been, you know, smelling something, licking lemons, sour pickles. I mean, it messes with your continence. Ain't no glow on folk holding grudges. If anything, there's a cloud of gloom hanging around. Folk don't like to come up and want to know what's going on in the life of folk who sit around with screwed up looking faces and all messed up and harmful attitudes, negative dispositions, sour, disgruntled, hard to get along with, cynical, disillusioned. Am I talking about you this morning? Because some of you looking mighty strange here this morning. You've got to understand, it makes you bitter. It is like a cancer that eats away at you. The more and the longer you become unforgetful of the unforgiveness that you would not let go, it is like a cancer eating the very insides of you up. And so what happens as a result, the longer the cancer of unforgiveness stays on the inside, it starts eating away at you. And so first you start off with the unforgiving spirit, where you hate the sin. You hate the wrong. You hate the harm that was done you. But when you don't release forgiveness in your heart long enough, and you'll start hating folk. And if you hold it long enough, you'll become bitter and forget why you are hating folk, and it'll become a spirit of hate, which then brings on prejudice. Ask some people today about their prejudices, regardless of what arena they're in, and many of them will find that they have unfounded prejudices. And they certainly will have prejudices that were passed on to them, that they're holding on to somebody else's unforgiveness. I think it's a mighty poor person who gets mad with somebody else because they're mad with somebody. Listen, I've got enough to account for. I don't need to account for your sins and your hang-ups as well. It's sad, and this is what Jesus is saying. We've got to learn how to utilize the spirit of love and forgiveness to keep harmony in the fellowship. Now, he said it's impossible, but that offenses will come. Don't think you can live which would take account of his servants. He wanted to check on them. And when he had, verse 24, begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Listen now. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. 10,000 talents. If those talents were simply silver, that would have been over $3,840,000 if it were silver. All right? Now listen, obviously it was more than this man had left in his accounts or his dealings. And so the man, the Lord, said, I tell you what, sell him, sell his wife, sell his children, sell his property and all of his belongings, and then even after that, whatever that does not cover, he's still responsible for the balance. So obviously he held a lot, didn't he? Well, look at what the word says. The Bible says, the servant, verse 26, therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, listen now, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now listen to this. Verse 27 says, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him, listen at what the word says, the debt. That's the entire 10,000 talents or $3,884,000, if you will, of the debt. The whole thing wiped clear. Now look at this. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Listen at this. 100 pence. Now the Bible says, and he laid and he laid hands on him. One translation say he grabbed him in the collar. Now for 100 pence, and he was just forgiven of 10,000 talents. He grabs his fellow servant in the collar, and listen to what the Bible says, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And you know he has some shaking going on up in there, don't you? All right, listen. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with, oh, don't this sound familiar? Have patience with me, and I will pay thee how much? Oh, were those not familiar words that this man just got through asking his Lord? And he fell down and he worshiped him and said the very same things. But look at what the story says. And again, look at what the Bible says. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Listen to this. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. You see, my brothers and sisters, there are always people watching you. And you see, you've got to remember some of the same folk are with you or some of the same folk who are watching you. And when this man became so hardened by his spirit of unforgiveness, when the Lord had forgiven him, some of the fellow servants were right there because they were brought into account about their stewardship as well. And when they heard of the account of this man having 10,000 talents owed to the Lord and he could not pay it after the man told him to be sold, his wife, his children, all of his possessions, and he fell down right there in front of everybody. Because can I tell you, when you want forgiveness, you're not ashamed to get down on your knees and say, listen, I'm sorry, forgive, if you really want forgiveness. So he wasn't ashamed, afraid, didn't care about what nobody said, because this was his last effort to get forgiveness. And so right there, he falls flat out on the floor, worships him, and tells him to please be patient with him. Give him some time, he'll pay everything he owes. And the man has compassion and writes off all his debt. And what a load he lifted off his shoulder. But I told you, point three was that we are bound by the choice we make. And so if you don't forgive, you don't get forgiveness. If you do forgive, you receive forgiveness. This is what Jesus said. Well, let's read the rest of the story. Look at what it says. The Bible says, verse 31 again, I want to read it over. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant. Now can I tell you, and this is a helpful holy hint for you that don't understand, That when you have a spirit of unforgiveness, it's because you have a spirit of wickedness in you. Remember who's telling the story. Jesus is saying it. O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee some. I forgave thee part. I forgave thee all that debt. Listen now. Because thou desirest me. Look at what verse 33 says. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant? Even, look at the word now, as I had pity on thee. Now this word even brings up an interesting part that you need to look into before passing over. First of all, you're going to understand that the difference in what the one servant owed, 10,000 talents, over and against 100 pence, was not equal. Amen. Are you with me here? Amen. So even though the one who had the 10,000 talents of debt versus the one who had the 100 pence of debt were not equal in their denomination, they were equal in their sin or their shortcoming, because both of them didn't have sufficient to pay their debt. Now let me show you how Jesus is trying to help you understand that whether it's a big sin or a little sin, whether it's a big thing or a little thing, that you are under warrant to give forgiveness when forgiveness is asked. When he said even, he's saying what was big to you was 10,000 talents and you asked for patience so that you could repay it all. But you need to know what was big to you and then what is little to this man in his eyesight is as big to him as 10,000 talents were to you. And so it's not a small thing in terms of the denomination of your sin shortcoming versus his. The point is, forgiveness is what is required when one asks for it. Now listen at this, because this is what happens, and you need to see this point, and I'm closing. The Bible says this. He says, verse 34, and his Lord was wroth. He was upset. He was fired up and delivered him to the tormentors. Now listen at this now. Till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now let me move on to this before I forget. Jesus reveals an interesting thing that happens with unforgiveness. When you get to the point where you decide that you're not going to forgive someone else, according to the rendering of the text, everything that he owed originally that was forgiven all, when he refused to forgive all that the man had done, reverted back on him. In other words, that amount of 10,000 talents that were erased from his slate, when he refused to erase the 100 pence from the man's slate, which was all, then the man who then had forgiven him said, you have made null and void all my forgiveness. So he could have said this, I'm going to forgive you of 10,000 pence minus 100, 10,000 talents minus 100 pence, which was the man's portion. But because he would not forgive all the man's debt, it canceled out the forgiveness of all his debt. Now, if you stick with me another minute, you're going to get where I'm going. When you get to the point where you forget not to forgive folk, when you don't forgive folk of all their sin, then you have just canceled out all the sin. You went to God and asked God to forgive you. It then comes back on your record because you have a spirit of unforgiveness. And look at what the word says. You don't have to take my word. So likewise. Do you know what likewise means? It means the same way. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brothers.